Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Baptist Church. I was looking at the articles that were hanging on one of the bulletin boards, and there was an article here about the church that reminded me that this is the oldest church in Malden. Did you know that?
Yes.
1803. That's quite a feat. So we're glad that you're here and carrying on this tradition. As I came in today, Betty Hickey brought me something she found in an attic. This is the bulletin for the church from December 19th, 1926. And it's still in pretty good shape. A couple things that are notable here. The parsonage was at 28 Salem Street, not too far away, I think. The telephone number was 2745. What's the telephone number now? 324-2745. It's the same number. It's just had some things added to the front. So remember those days when everybody had those phone numbers you could remember. Now ask me my phone number, I have no idea. You push a button and it does it for you. Over the top it says, 1,009 people in Sunday school last Sunday. 187 men present for the Morse Bible class. And Christmas carols will be sung at 7:30 on Christmas Eve around the tree on the lawn. And then those with automobiles will take carolers to visit a number of places in the city with their Christmas songs of cheer. This will be a blessing to all who hear these Christmas songs and be a still greater blessing to the singers themselves. Very interesting. When you look at this, there's a lot of information contained in this little bulletin. Betty, thank you for sharing this. Really,
pastor.
Oh, good question. William Quay Rozelle, PhD and DD, two doctorates. And the associate pastor was the Reverend David W. Witte, W-I-T-T-E, director of Young People's Activities. Lived at 516 Pleasant Street. So there you go. Part of a bygone era. But isn't that just fitting for where we are now, a new year? A time when you're not only looking ahead, but you're looking back. You're kind of thinking about things to come and the things that were. And so today's service will focus a little bit on that theme of the passing of time. So we're glad that you're here to be a part of it. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Rich Robison. I'm filling in right now for Pastor Martha as she continues to recuperate from her health condition. And my understanding is that she is doing very well and that she has actually been driving some and doing errands one at a time, but gaining her strength. And so we're really thrilled that she is recuperating so well. A couple of announcements have been given to me this morning. The diaconate meeting, deacons meeting, will take place today, I think. And the location, David, is?
We'll probably be in the nursery.
Okay. And then the second is that the mission board, which is listed in the bulletin as meeting today, is not meeting today. So take note of that. And then our service today is a communion service. And so those of you who know our traditions, remember that there are two offerings received today. The first offering is the conventional offering for the church. But then the second offering is the Deacon's Fund offering, or the communion offering, which is shared with those in particular need. So please be aware that that will take place. I was thinking about the deacons of this church. And again, for those that don't know me, my humble roots in Massachusetts started in this church as my first job out of seminary in 1980. One of the things that the deacons had the great wisdom to do was to buy me a preaching robe. And not only did they buy me this robe, they bought it expandable. Because I can tell you, I'm not exactly the same size as I was when I came in 1980, but I really appreciate the forethought of those deacons. So thank you again for the gift. It has worn on me well, and I've used it a lot over these 35 years. So thank you. Are there other announcements or concerns to share at this time? Then let us join together in worship. The responsive call to worship is in your bulletin. As this new year begins, bless us.
Bless God, you, O Lord.
As we face the future with assurance because of your promises,
bless God afresh, O Lord.
As we learn to love all people, friend and foe alike,
bless
renew our faith as we embrace a new beginning. To God be the glory, number 36. Together in prayer. O loving God, as the year turns from old to new, and the carols fade as we move forward into January, the blessing of Bethlehem that touched our lives, perhaps past, and yet we read the Holy Child grew and became strong, and God's favor was with him. In the days ahead, we long for such a steady becoming. Renew us amid the routines of our lives. Grant us courage to face the events of our lives. And fill us with your assurance of your presence beyond these holidays and deep into winter days of our own lives. We come this day to worship you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray, in the way in which he taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Morning. We have a mission moment. Marilyn, are you presenting on the mission board? They have the mission board.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Retired Ministers and Missionaries Offering 2016. You may be wondering what this little fellow is doing here. Ministers and Missionaries, we always call M&M. So he's our M&M reminder for the month of July. Exactly 100 years ago, old ministers and missionaries, most of them poorly paid throughout their careers in ministry, had no way to retire since there was no pension fund in our denomination. Exactly 100 years ago, that changed. The Ministers and Missionaries Board was created, and today old ministers and missionaries and their spouses retire with dignity and support. So the Ministers and Missionaries Benefit Board has distributed over the years $831,000 to approximately 4,000 retired American Baptist churches employees. These funds are distributed annually in the form of a thank you check to express appreciation to these individuals who have served ABC USA for more than 15 years. The Retired Ministers and Missionaries Offering, otherwise known as RMMO, an annual ABC USA offering, provides funding for those thank you checks that are distributed to the clergy. The last year, the average check was $217.61, and it was deeply appreciated. So now we're going to hear from a few of those donors and or recipients. First, from Reverend Douglas L. Harris, who is the English Congregation pastor at the North Shore Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. And he's one of our former seminarians. Some of you might remember Doug Harris being here at Northern First Baptist some years ago. So Reverend Harris has to say,
our church family is supportive of the RMMO because we have several former pastors, denominational leaders, and missionaries that are part of our church family. So the church sees every day that those who respond to the call to serve in professional ministry are a gift in the life of the church.
And we have had some of those ministers, and one of them is with us. We'll hear more about her later on this month. From a retired pastor and spouse in Kansas.
Okay. In retirement years, it is such a blessing to know that we are remembered in such a nice way.
Thank you. From a retired minister and spouse in New York.
Thank you for the generous RMMO check. We have ongoing new physical issues, so this will help with the expenses. We have always contributed because we have always felt it was a worthwhile cause.
And from Reverend Leon Grant, who is the pastor of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Rockville, Maryland.
The retired ministers and missionaries offering allows us to bless those who have been servants to God's people.
So the retired ministers and missionaries offering is the primary way to help our spiritual elders. And our First Baptist Malden goal is $500, as you can see on our poster. So please consider a gift to help remind those spiritual leaders of ours how much their service is appreciated. Thank you.
And begin to prepare for my retirement. Now that was a bunch of years back. And I remember a place in the letter that said, your anticipated year of retirement is 2018. That sounded like eons away. And then I went through New Year's Eve this week and said, oh my gosh, it's coming true. I hope that you'll support the Retired Ministers Fund because it really does help those who have served for so many years. A moment with the children. You want to stay put? You could come to the first pew. Oh, you already are. Anybody else want to join them? Well, I brought a little something for you to look at today.
What does it say?
Janus.
It's the symbol of January for the Roman god of gates and doorways. You remember that we live on a Roman calendar, right? And that January is one of those names that comes from that ancient history. And part of the reason was, is that January is both a time for looking one direction and also the other. Because Janus, the ancient god that was part of the Roman culture, had two heads altogether. You could look forward and you could look back. Hence we have our January date. Julius Caesar embraced it. When they redid the calendar in 1582 with the Gregorians, they re-embraced it. King Henry VIII decided he wanted to change the calendar. He kept January in place. The Puritans kind of didn't like this stuff so much, and they wanted to get rid of it, but it survived. And now we still celebrate a new year, don't we? Times Square, New York, around the world. It's a time for a new year. Did you get to stay up late? Did you have fun? Is that the best part of New Year's, is getting to stay up late? And was there any member of your household that didn't stay up late? Oh, you don't have to tell us that. In my household, we were 50-50. Two people went to bed early, and two people stayed up late. I was one of the late stayers with Amy. Everybody else said, it's just another night. Well, they missed it, didn't they? New Year is this unusual time when we can think that yesterday we were in a different place. Did you hear about the twins that were born?
Yeah.
One at 1159 in one year and the other at 1201 in the new year. So they're going to have separate birthdays even they were born just minutes apart. It's a funny thing this time, isn't it? And what it means to us. And yet, I think as Christian believers, it's a time to thank God for what has been and a time to embrace the days ahead. What do you think? Can we say a prayer together? Lord God, we give you thanks for a new year, for the blessings that we have received, and for all of the times that you'll be with us in the days coming ahead. Give us a happy 2016, for we ask it through Christ. Amen. As we prepare our hearts for prayer, let me ask if there are those prayer concerns that people would like to share with the congregation today. Joys, health concerns, Richard and Marilyn.
Three choir members that are ill.
Wow.
Chandra, Sugantha, and Irene, all not feeling well today. We're short. We thank Linda, sister of Marilyn, filling in.
Sharon is also feeling very sick.
Okay. Marilyn?
Yeah, Linda and I headed for Toronto this afternoon for a funeral. My late companion Louie's kid sister passed away suddenly in Toronto, and the funeral's tomorrow. So we're driving out, so we're asking for remembering the family, the Caducci family, and also traveling mercies for us as we drive out. And it's
thank you. Sorry for your loss.
Beth. Celebrating Heather Fountain's 100 days of post-transplant.
Yes. So Heather Fountain, who I think you've been praying for some time, has been dealing with leukemia and is celebrating 100 days of
the transplant working, hoping for good things. Please, in the back.
For Phyllis Knight, she's not doing as well as she lets on.
For Phyllis Knight, not doing as well as she lets on. Phyllis was always like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Naomi?
My aunt Diane, she was in the hospital the other day. She had a fever and come to find out she had an infection the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hope that she comes along well. Please.
My aunt Denise Lori, she has some medical issues and just pray that they get resolved.
Thank you. Denise Lori with a medical issue. Yes.
My grandson gets a job soon.
Grandson gets a job soon, yes. Those are traumatic times when people move from one position to another and sometimes involuntarily. Yeah. Much on our minds. May we unite our hearts and minds in moments of prayer. Our loving God, we worship you, for you are the one who inhabits our world and indwells our lives. And we realize that we don't need to just look up to find you, rather look around. For we discover that you are a part of each of us within ourselves, but you are beyond ourselves as we look into the eyes of another here in this community, and those around us. It's not so much that you're like distant thunder when we hear the music of life and the words of children, the questions of those who are curious, the rhythm of heartbeat. Yes, we worship you, O God. You inhabit our world. You indwell our lives. You are here in the person of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We give you thanks for this church and its very, very long ministry, celebrating the times that have been, anticipating the times to come, renewing our commitments unto you. We celebrate with those who enjoy being together at this time of year, for those who find peace and comfort. We pray with those who are struggling and those who are facing uncertainties, those who face illnesses, those who have suffered loss, those who are unsure because of economic insecurity, those who need jobs. And so we pray for Sharon, Phyllis, Diane, Lori, and so many others. We pray for Pastor Martha. We pray for Linda and Marilyn, and grant them, O God, travel mercies as they go to be with the ones they love in a time of loss. We pray for Heather, celebrating her good news and praying that the new year provide her great blessing. Yes, we are your children. We come to worship you and to laugh as your children, to let the tears of joy baptize your eyes and your cheeks, O God, to give thanks and to celebrate, for it is great to be alive and to welcome a new year, to dance as your children, to lose ourselves in the dance of your spirit, to enjoy being part of your orchestra, to be alive, to be filled with joy, to embrace one another as children of God. Oh God, in this year to come, help us to open our arms to you. Open your arms to us, that we might feel close one to the other. And in that openness, may we find meaning. May we proclaim in 2016, oh God, it's great to be alive. We give thanks. We celebrate. May the festival of your people begin as we face this new year. Accept our prayers, even as we offer them in your holy name. For it is in his name, Jesus our Christ, that we pray. Amen. Let us continue our worship with our morning offering. Grateful hearts, our spirits overflow. We come and offer ourselves and these gifts to dedicate your ministry among us, O God. Be present. Fill the givers with blessing. For we come before you, opening our hearts and our minds in your holy name. For we ask it through Christ. Amen. We have an opportunity today that I did not know of one of your local traditions last week, that when you're in the parlor, you like to greet one another. Greet one another in the name of Christ.
It's great, so. Happy New Year.
The hymn is number 442, Blessed Assurance, and we hope that you'll have this much fun at the coffee hour after the service.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
Fashion, but I always like to sing a Fanny Crosby hymn. And you recall probably that she was, as an adult, blind and wrote her many, many hymns just from her own vision of God. What a gift. 9,000? That's pretty prolific. We turn to our scripture reading for the day. First, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. And think of these words as you begin to think about the year to come. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry nor lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you into righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Our New Testament lesson today, from Philippians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and guide us in our understanding. Amen. Well, it is this new year. This year, point in the year where we look back and we look ahead. And somehow coming together to celebrate communion at this time of year is just fitting. I remember the church that I served in Illinois before I came to Massachusetts used to have a watch night service on New Year's Eve. Did you ever have those in your tradition at all? Some people have. People would gather at the church, and it became quite an event, actually, because they would start early with a potluck. People would bring their slides of the different trips, and really you had to be careful, because if there was more than one person who took a trip to the Holy Land, you were in for some real slides. And then come along about 10:30, they would come together into the sanctuary for music and praise. And then at 11, they usually invited a retired pastor to come back and to lead the service. And I remember dear Pastor Godby, who was quite elderly by the time I got to know him. Apparently in his prime, he had been quite vivacious in his preaching. When I knew him, he was a little more subdued. And so he led the service. And long about just at midnight, he looked down at his watch and he said, "Well, it seems the midnight hour is about to pass. Let us pray." And I thought everybody in the sanctuary was just going to fall asleep. But it was the time to serve communion as well, and to dedicate the new year by coming together around the table. What a fitting celebration it was. It wasn't quite as glamorous as a million people in Times Square. But it was so heartfelt and meaningful to come and to worship together with your community on that first night of the year. So I think of that as I contemplate New Year and time and all of these things that seem so hard for us to really understand. Because time is sort of a funny creature, isn't it? I remember reading in a National Geographic magazine about Richard Byrd, the admiral who had done all of the travel to the South Pole. And he wrote a diary about his second trip. And in it, he talked about how they traveled and how they tried to create a very straight line to the South Pole, following the 180th meridian, which some of you will know is the international date line. He said, "You know, when a traveler crosses that date line, it either adds a day or subtracts a day, depending on which way you are going." He wrote of his experience of trying to follow that line all the way to the South Pole, and he said, "All the time we continued flying as closely as possible to the 180th meridian, but even without wind drift, you can move and vary slightly. Corrections can be made by the navigator, but no navigator can fly exactly on a straight mathematical line. And so, he said, what we experienced then was that as we traveled along this international dateline, we were zigzagging constantly from today into tomorrow and back into yesterday. And I thought, wow, isn't that the story of our lives? Sometimes we're in the moment and we're right present. Sometimes we're anticipating the future and we're worried. Sometimes we're thinking of the past. Sometimes we become focused and stuck right there. And we kind of zigzag throughout our lives. At this time of year, as we pass from one year to the next, our minds become crowded with recollection, good events, those events that were troubling, those things that caused us pain. We're occupied with the anticipations of the year to come. Time seems askew somehow. Time is a funny thing. Think about how it would be if you were this person, this woman that I'm going to tell you about. Her name was Anne McDonald. And she wrote to the newspaper, she said, after 15 years, he had vanished, and I had no recollection, or he had no recollection of me. But suddenly, after being declared legally dead, apparently he had suffered from amnesia. After hitting his head, he recovered his memory and returned home to embrace her on Christmas Day. So as the story goes, she said it was like a fairy tale, and she had a native tongue of Ireland, County Cork, and so it was a bit of a brogue. Her husband vanished in 1991. She'd had him declared dead in 1996. But on Christmas morning, this many years later, there was a knock at the door. A 64-year-old man was standing there and said, "Hi, Anne, I'm home." Time plays funny tricks, doesn't it? What turns out is that he spent 15 years. He lived in upstate New York. He ended up somehow in Philadelphia after having had a car accident and a bump on the head, amnesia. He was working as a cook in a restaurant. He had been down in the cellar getting some supplies. He bumped his head on a pipe, and all of a sudden, his memory came back. He got on the first train and went home. And so after 15 years, they were somehow reunited. Time is a funny thing. How do we understand where God leads us? The theologian Emil Brunner once said, it's only natural that we ourselves at the beginning of a new year will think, well, what will this year bring forth? While we ask this question, we're also made aware that we actually can know nothing about it in a real sense, because we just don't know. That facing a new year is facing an unexplored continent, mysterious, full of possibilities and experiences, full of uncertainty and the kinds of utterly unforeseen things that can take place, like your spouse bumps his head and disappears and then reappears after 15 years. Oh, isn't life strange and confusing? We have this natural sense of confusion and anxiety as we look ahead. But we turn to seek God's guidance, don't we? And assurance for the uncertainty of the days which lie ahead. And we hear these words of the Apostle Paul in his powerful passage, which offers direction to us at this time of year. Here's the one thing I do. You know how people ask, what's your resolution for the year, or what are you going to do in the new year? Well, if they asked the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm going to tell you one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of Christ. I press on to the goal of the upward call of Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if it's as easy as Paul makes it out to be to forget what happened before and just to move ahead. That's a little troubling for me. But I've thought about it in a different kind of way, and I'll try this out and you can tell me if it makes sense to you. So let me meander for a moment. Have any of you ever rowed a rowboat, a conventional rowboat? What direction are you facing when you can row a rowboat?
Backwards.
So when I was a kid, we used to go to a state park near my house for camping and things like that, and we would row the boat across the lake. And so there was this part of me that had to keep an eye on what was over on the next shore because I was trying to cross the lake. But what was I doing most of the time? I was facing where I had been. But if I didn't keep my eye on the goal, what would happen? I would drift, and I would end up in the wrong place. But somehow, by keeping in my viewfind that which was behind me and focusing on that which I am still hoping to attain, I could press on. I could row. The wind would come up. Sometimes we would get caught in a thunder blast of some sort. The boat would start to rock. But keeping constant, keeping steady, moving across that little lake until we got to the other shore. Isn't that kind of like where we're at? We have this sense of where we've been. We have our faith. We have our hope in Christ. We have the cross there on that shore. And at the same time, we're moving forward in our lives. And we've picked a place that God has called us to be. And we continue to move in that direction ever so slowly at times. Sometimes we get pushed adrift. Sometimes we face the storms. And then we reorient. We find our God. We find our faith. We find the cross. And we continue our journey. I press on, forgetting what lies behind, letting go of needless worry, moving forward. I press on. Resentments, those kinds of things that have become blocks to relationship, bitterness and pain, I press on. I find how I can move through those storms. Failures, mistakes, we've all experienced them. We've all created them. God is a forgiving God. We gather at the table to experience forgiveness again. What is before me? What can be done? What can I let go? What can I place at the altar? It's a new year. It's a time to embrace. It's a new year. It's time to regain our strength. It's a new year. It's time to be tolerant once again. It's a new year. It's a time to remember God's guidance as people of faith, explicitly and implicitly. God sometimes shows us the way, and we absolutely are convinced we know where God wants us to go. But more often, we're unsure, and we think that we know. We read the scripture, we say a prayer, we speak to a friend, we seek God's plan for our lives. As a church, we're not always sure. Where should we go? What should we do? Where should we be? And then we find a touch of history that reminds us where we've been in such concrete ways that we know exactly where we need to go. The Bible employs different images, from that of the voice of God to the angel of God to the mysterious and the invisible. Somehow God still speaks in that small, still voice. We suffer from helplessness, and we pray to heal those we love. Our God sets angels at our side. we don't always recognize. But the constant and secret intervention of God in our history reminds us to press on, to always be what God would have us be. Those who persevere. Isn't that the story of New Year? There was a Sunday school teacher in the church in Gardner that I served whose name was Ethel Lovewell. What a good name for a Sunday school teacher. She loved well. And she was so committed over 60 years to her Sunday school. When she was in the nursing home and I was visiting her in her last days, she would always give me a note to bring back to the church. And she would say, we said a prayer, she would hold my hand and squeeze it. And she would say, just keep on keeping on. What do you need today, Ethel? I don't need anything but my God. Just keep on keeping on. And that's what she would write in her note, and I would read it to the congregation. Ethel's note today is keep on keeping on. And next week, Ethel's note today is keep on keeping on. And a month from now, when we would bring it, Ethel's note was again, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Be inspired by those who have finished the race, who would help if they could, who in their strength and power and memory still instill us the inspiration to keep on keeping on. Those are the saints of our lives. Those are the people of faith that we respect and remember. Paul said, I do not claim that I've already succeeded, nor that I have become perfect, but I do my best to reach what is ahead, to win the prize which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. So as we anticipate the closing of a year and the coming of the year ahead, we are caught like January, right? That Janus, in looking back and looking ahead, yesterday and tomorrow, but hearing the word of God cutting into our lives to affirm and reaffirm us as people of faith, accepting the gift of new life, that all things can be made new. That's the promise of Scripture. We live as God intended we should. So seeing with new eyes, I see a new world. Understanding with new heart and mind and soul, God's truth breaks upon me. What better way to approach this new year than to renew our faith and our hope that God is alive and has not forgotten us? Accept the free gift, O God, through Christ Jesus, and grant us hope and promise for the year ahead. Let us come together and greet him at the table of our Lord. Amen.
Sweet the sound that sounds. pretty specific.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we're about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering.
Shall we pray together? Lord, as we approach this table, we come with open hearts, with gratitude for all that has been given, and a generous spirit for all that can be done, not only for ourselves, but for others. Accept these gifts, for we offer them in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Will you please join me in reading our church covenant? Having been led
and redeemed by the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, and that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children, and those under our care, for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of Christ, that we cheerfully contribute to our property, the work which God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers.
Before us is the table of the Lord. All are welcome to come to this place. All are welcome to be gathered in the communion of saints, to give thanks unto God, to dedicate yourselves yet to the year to come. We practice open communion. We ask that you believe in Jesus Christ. All are welcome to come and give thanks in this manner. We read in Holy Scripture that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you." Let us give thanks for Christ and the bread. Let us pray. Loving God, as we meander into this year and back to last, yesterday and tomorrow, unsure of our path. Become our beacon, our light. Make us certain. For our faith journey is your journey. Our shore, but a distant shore, is one in which we aim. Help us to understand our faith. Help us to know how it is we need to travel. And give us strength for the journey. As we receive this bread, strengthen us in body, mind, and spirit. For we ask it through Christ. Amen. That I am the bread of life. Take and eat. And then, when the meal was complete, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is God's new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I shall come again and receive you unto myself." Let us give thanks for the cup. As we pause in these moments and reflect on our lives, O God, we seek your forgiveness and your love. We confess that we have not always done everything that we need to do, that at times we have hurt or caused pain to others. We confess our sins before you. We ask your blessings upon us, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing in Christ Jesus. As we receive this cup, strengthen us, grant us hope for a new future. For we ask it through Christ. Amen. am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Take and drink. We read in Holy Scripture that before they went out from that place, together they sang a hymn. Our hymn is the first verse of Blessed Be the Tide. Forth as God's people and laugh as children of God. Let the tears of your joy baptize your eyes and your cheeks, and give thanks unto God and celebrate. It's great to be alive. It's great to embrace a new year. Go as people of faith, and may God's blessings be upon you. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Him, now and forevermore. Amen.